Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Ritika. How are you?
Hi, Kant. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we want to have a discussion around ICOs for the sake of our audience. So why don't you kick it off?
Sure, Kant. I think there were certain questions that, you know, were that frequently asked. And I mean, since even I'm new to the crypto space, so when I really started off, I had some basic questions regarding, how do you really go about designing a token and, you know, some basic questions like that. So maybe we can start off with that. So the first question I have, Kant, is when do you think, a company is ready to go for an ICO, or what should be the criteria they should consider if they really want to go for an ICO?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this is at the end of the day common sense, right, Ritika? Not a whole lot has changed in terms of who should be raising money. So first of all, there should be some amount of de-risking that should have already happened. There should be a good team, at least a few members of the team that are already working on it. Maybe they have been at it for a couple of years. Maybe they have designed a product, if not a prototype, and it has some number of users already. Maybe they're even generating revenues. In some cases, I also see profitability. And they have a very clear reason. Maybe they have a software development effort that's pending. Maybe they have marketing that needs to be done, and so on and so forth. Maybe they have a bunch of patents to file. So there are a whole bunch of reasons why entrepreneurs raise money. And they have traditionally done that. The reason Silicon Valley became so big was it was a nice assembly of the right engineers around technology, the right number of people along Sandhill Drive that could invest in these.
Right.
So it made that ecosystem bloom over the years, right? It was like a perfect storm. And we saw great company after great company after great company funded there. So entrepreneurs tend to flock around where the capital is. And over time, it was the same thing. We saw the dot-com boom, if you look back at an analogy 20 years ago, and people were literally throwing money at any startup they could. And many of them
right.
And burned. And over the years, entrepreneurs became wiser because the investors became much tougher. Investors were looking, they said, no, not just a business plan. We need a real business. They started coming up with concepts around MVP, minimum viable product, which essentially meant that, hey, you have done something. Why should I invest in something that is so risky? You just dreamt up an idea last night and you decided to do a startup and you want me to put in $200,000 as angel investment. That's a perfect way to lose my money. So I saw over the years, the angel investors become more and more savvy, and entrepreneurs therefore had to show more and more stuff. And we see the same drama repeating all over again. But this is
right. But Kant, would there be scenarios, do you think, where you might suggest somebody, a company to go for an IPO, but not an ICO, you know? When do you see that scenario playing out?
When they're already, I mean, there are many reasons why people might still consider an IPO. First of all, not every company might have an organic need for a blockchain, right? So you might say, we are an existing business. We've been around for a couple of years. We have traction. We have customers. We have profitability. And we are looking at scaling. I don't think we need a blockchain. So now, if that is the case, if there's no organic need for a blockchain, you're just going to sell security tokens on a blockchain to investors and then go, and you want your tokens to trade in the public market. The only reason you might still do it that way is because you want liquidity for both your shares and the invested shares of the investors. But on the other hand, if you are saying that, hey, you're so close to the IPO, you already went through several rounds of funding, you are very close to the IPO, and you probably even have identified the investment banker to take you public.
Right.
I think you might as well finish it and go public, that the regular route. That would be my opinion. It's only when you're more in the early stages that you literally look out and you say, oh, I need 5-10 years of funding left. I need series A, B, C, D, E, whatever number of rounds left before I can go public. And I actually have an organic need for a blockchain. Why should I wait that long? And if I add up all of those rounds, I don't think I need more than $20 or $30 million. If I can raise that much amount right now and put it in the bank, so to speak, I'm done. Right?
Right, yeah.
This episode of Crypto Nights is sponsored by GoTenna Mesh. What is GoTenna Mesh? GoTenna Mesh, spelled GoTenna is G-O-T-E-N-N-A. Mesh, M-E-S-H, is a tiny but mighty device that pairs with any smartphone to enable the first 100% off-grid mobile long-range consumer-ready mesh network. Sends text messages, GPS locations immediately and automatically. Privately one-on-one or to groups or as public shouts without any cell service, routers, towers, or satellites. Perfect to maintain connectivity and create a backup network when off-grid, exploring, traveling internationally, or emergency situations where power and consequently cell service is unreliable or unavailable. GoTenna and decentralization. GoTenna is a part of the movement towards decentralization. It takes the decentralization, financial empowerment elements of cryptocurrency and applies them to communication, networking, survival, etc. How? It allows you to communicate with your smartphone without cell service, thus protecting you from spying eyes. All messages are end-to-end encrypted using public-private key encryption. With GoTenna, you can create your own decentralized network and be in control of the data that you create. It relies on people-powered connectivity. The more people join, the stronger it gets. GoTenna represents a unique blend. It mixes everyday consumer needs with the modern, more niche necessities of web-savvy users who rely on encryption to navigate our increasingly spying and risk-fraught communications technology. Much more reliable, effective than walkie-talkies and mobile apps. Example, FireChat, that allow you to communicate without cell service. Our reach is 50 miles at high elevations and 9 miles in most outdoor scenarios. You can take handheld encryption on the go. For this special unique promotion, please use the code CRYPTO35. That's Crypto35.
So, I mean, think about it, Ritika. How do you, when you go to buy a used car, how would you buy it? I mean, I'm deliberately saying used car because a new car is easier. You pretty much know. You just probably pick your brand and model and budget and you go buy it and negotiate. But
right.
Let's imagine for a minute you're buying a used car. What would be your process to buy a used car?
I would probably, decide which brands I want to go for. And then I think I would like to know how many years the car has already been used. Have there been any repairs? And probably get it checked by a mechanic.
Exactly. So when you're a buyer, you want to check things out and make sure that you're buying something that's good. So the best way to understand, you know, when or whether we should go ICO is to look at it from a buyer angle and say, which buyers would buy my tokens and why? So now if you think, if you apply the same mechanics that you did to an ICO, you would do the same thing. You will first figure out, okay, like a make and model that you determine and the budget, you say, okay, I have so much money I can invest. And these are the industries I understand. You might understand finance or you might understand healthcare. You might understand certain domains better.
Right.
So that is one of the things. The second thing is you might look into the legalities of your country of residence and say, okay, what are the legalities? Where can I invest safely? And then in this case, you want to also make sure, hey, is the team legit? Can I see the pictures on their website? Do they have a LinkedIn profile? Can I click on that? Can I add them as a friend?
Right.
Did they create the, did all the 15 members of the team create their LinkedIn profiles yesterday morning? Or have they been around for several years? Do they have a large organic network? These are all such easy due diligence work that we can do before we invest in an ICO, right?
Right.
So in my opinion, even now, sometimes I go to a website and I click on the team. I don't see the pictures of the team members. And I'm thinking, why would I invest when they're even afraid to put up their faces? I don't know who they are. Why should I invest? Right? And then many people say, oh, I don't understand the white paper. I said, then don't invest. Because many of the fraudulent companies write extremely complex technologically white paper.
I think, yeah, that's what I've seen. I think most, even the ones that have raised a lot of money have written very complicated, more technical papers that probably a layman would find it difficult to understand.
Yeah, this is some place where the technology geeks, the engineers should be very careful not to do too much of geek speak in the white paper because people may not understand. People won't invest. People are much more interested in understanding the business language. Just because Satoshi Nakamoto, whatever, 10 years ago put out a white paper, that might have been a bit hard to understand. It was more like a semi-journal paper that you might look at.
Right.
But he was not raising any money. People totally misunderstood the, the white paper idea is good. Satoshi Nakamoto was not raising any money at all. So the rules that apply to Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper no longer apply. Here you're talking to somebody who's very busy working in a job, has a little bit of money, is wondering where I should invest. So you better be simple, clear, and as clear as a bell, actually. You should be very clear about explaining the business model, what the team is, where is the product, do you have traction, do you have user community, do you have any revenues, do you have profit, how will your blockchain work, why are you using a blockchain, and what is the timeline, where can they invest, and so on and so forth. All the common sense factors should be there and extremely clearly explained so that somebody can go through a white paper in a few minutes. Nobody's going to, just because we took 100 hours to put together a beautiful looking white paper, doesn't mean somebody's going to take that much time to go through white paper. I mean, going back to the used car analogy, you might go drive around and check out 4 or 5 used cars in the neighborhood, and then you might like one or two, and for the one you like, you might take it to a mechanic and get it checked out. So that's really typically what happens is people might scan multiple white papers and ignore, I mean, literally spend 2-3 minutes on each white paper, right? And I'm sure people who write white papers are cringing right now saying, what, 2-3 minutes? I took 100 hours to write it. Yeah, that's why I write it in such a way that people will read the first paragraph, the last paragraph, and look at the pictures. So that's a practical.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think probably they wouldn't get beyond the executive summary sometime.
Yeah. Remember how you and I wrote our book, Ritika, years ago? We made sure that there was text, but a lot of visuals so that people could easily skim through. I think about 40% of the pages were actually figures, if I remember right.
Yes, that's true, Khan. Every alternate page had figures.
I think white papers can learn a lot from that methodology. Yeah, if they have a lot of visuals that very clearly explain, right? If it is an exchange, draw a picture. Who are the buyers? Who are the sellers? What are the transactions? Right. And then if you want to define your token design, just draw a flow chart, right? This person uses token to do this, and this is how the token flows. This is how the value flows, right? There should be a token value exchange happening anyways. And how does the company make money? That can also be shown as a flow in one of the charts, right? A flow diagram can explain that, hey, whenever there's a transaction, this is how there's a transactional fee that goes to the company, and that's how the company makes money. Okay, that makes sense, right? So I think common sense factors can be, these are things that can be very clearly explained.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.